But we are making our way through the Lord's Prayer. We are in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 9 through 15. Allow me to read those again. Therefore, pray in this manner. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men for their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, neither will your Father forgive your sins. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We are taking time to walk through the petitions of the Lord's Prayer and to be challenged in our hearts and minds by what we find in those petitions. Last week we focused on the second petition, your kingdom come. And we dealt with the reality of our hearts needing to be conquered by the gospel, but also the most distant pagan land needing to be conquered by the gospel. And this week we come to what seems like an extension of that petition, but there are some subtle differences. Your will be done. Contemporary English, we say, on earth as it is in heaven. In the King James, it's in earth as it is in heaven. And we begin as we're examining this. And really what I'm conveying to you is simply the Westminster Larger Catechism's summary, exposition of this prayer. I'm not up here trying to come up with something new. I'm just communicating to you 500-year-old exposition of this prayer, but hopefully in a way that's relevant to your 21st century life. And these are definitely petitions that are word-bound. The law impacts our worldview and our self-view. Paul himself said, I wouldn't have known, this is paraphrasing, I wouldn't have known I had a coveting problem had the law not told me, don't covet. And upon hearing that, Paul was convicted that he had a coveting problem. Or we wouldn't know that we had a murdering problem. We definitely, perhaps, wouldn't know it had Christ not rightfully expounded that and told us when we have needless anger, anger based in our righteousness, not Christ's righteousness, that we are murdering our brothers. So the law reveals to us the reality of our sin, our need of Christ. God's word tells us what is right and what is wrong. It reveals to us God's will. Young people, you are at a stage in life when you are trying to discern God's will for your life. Perhaps some of you older people are at a point where you're trying to discern God's will for your life. God's will for your career, for your major, for your spouse. It's easy to fall into the pagan idolatry that is looking for some supernatural parting of the clouds and the sun to shine down on the building that houses the department that you should be studying in, or the book in the library that you should be reading, or the person that you should be pursuing in marriage, or the condo complex that you should be retiring to. Whatever it is that you are seeking, it's so easy to want to go by divining tea leaves rather than using the wisdom that God has given us in his word to make the decisions that we need to make. And that brings us to our main point. Your natural heart wants none of God's will. So in Christ, pray he makes earth like heaven. Then serve him powerfully, knowledgeably, submissively, and immediately. Your natural heart wants none of God's will. So in Christ, pray he makes earth like heaven. Then serve him powerfully, knowledgeably, submissively, and immediately. We see firstly that we ought to pray under the gospel presupposition that outside of Christ and without God's revelation, you are bent against God and toward the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need to remember that even in the garden, even pre-fall, in the state of perfect innocence, we needed God's revelation. Adam and Eve had not sinned, but they still needed God's word to direct them in how they were to live, what they were to eat, what they were to not eat. God's revelation was supreme, even in the perfect garden before the fall. Pray under this gospel presupposition that outside of Christ and without God's revelation, you are bent against God and toward the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Catechism tells us that as we pray this, we are acknowledging that by nature, we and all men are not only utterly unable and unwilling to know and do the will of God, but prone to rebel against his word, to repine and murmur against his providence, and wholly inclined to do the will of the flesh and of the devil. Now, this gets us into an issue of our positional justification and sanctification and the reality in which we experience life in our progressive sanctification, where God is making us more and more like Christ. When God sees us in Christ, when he justifies us, he sees us as holy. He sees us as perfectly acceptable before him. But the reality is that we are progressively learning to live in that truth. We are progressively being sanctified, and from time to time and occasion to occasion, we use our bodies to serve sin and to still be instruments of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Paul said in Romans 7:18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." And he reminds us in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And then he helps us along in Romans 8 by filling that out. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. We begin to understand, brothers and sisters, that this is a battle of the heart. This is a battle of our life of thoughts and thinking and understanding and passions and desires. This is a battle of asking, are we or are we not sanctifying Christ as Lord in our hearts day by day? And friends, this is a gospel presupposition. I call it that because of the words of Paul in Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And then he goes on, but God. So it is part of the good news to first receive the bad news that the good news addresses. And friends, if we are unable to admit how sinful we can be, even after conversion, it should raise a question mark for us. Am I really confessing how great Christ is? Do I just need improved, or do I need radically altered in my inner being? So pray under this gospel presupposition, knowing that apart from Christ, outside of the gospel, outside of our union with him, we do not want to know God's will. Even when we read it in the scriptures, our hearts are bent against it because we do not want to do what he wants us to do. We want to do what we want to do. Secondly, brothers and sisters, pray for spiritual awakening, strength, and purity. The Catechism says, and we pray that God would by his Spirit take away from ourselves and others all blindness, weakness, indisposedness, and perverseness of heart. As the Catechism begins to unfold this presupposition, we ask, how do we pray then? We pray that God would by his Spirit take these things away from us. See, we fool ourselves in just thinking that because I've been converted, then I'm just automatically okay in my daily walk and my progressive sanctification. That's why they call it progressive. It's not done. It's ongoing. It's growing. It's from faith to faith. You will know when it's done because you will be in a box and we will be at your funeral. That's when our progressive sanctification is finished. Ephesians 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That was Paul's prayer for people who are already believers. In Ephesians 3, he prays that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. We're reminded in the Garden of Gethsemane when Christ confronts the disciples, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, that prayer meeting were long enough that we would fall asleep. They fall asleep, and Jesus reminds them how weak their flesh is. Despite their greatest intentions of heart, their flesh is weak. We need that weakness rooted out of us. We want to walk in that blessing. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. We need all this blindness, weakness, indisposedness, perverseness of heart, all of those ongoing sins that churn out of our hearts. We need it to be sanctified from us. We need to be awakened from it. We need to be strengthened away from it. We need to be purified from it by the Holy Spirit as we are conformed to the image of Christ. And so we begin to pray in Christ that God would make earth like heaven. And how is earth like heaven? And we see, as the Catechism unfolds this, that earth becomes like heaven when we serve him in power and knowledge and submission and immediacy. This brings us to our third and final point, but it's probably our longest point, so don't get your hopes up. Pray for gospel obedience. Pray for gospel obedience. Catechism says, and by his grace, make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to his will in all things. That's what God can do. He can take this group of people who have no desire to even know the will. We don't even want to admit God exists. And we might come under the conviction that God exists, but you can't make me do what I don't want to do. And then there's probably some time in between there where, you know, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. But he so converts us that we are actually willing and able to do what he tells us to do through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Pray for gospel obedience. Pray that by his grace he would make us able and willing to know, do, and submit to his will in all things. My friends, this is not obedience that saves. That has never been the case for God's people. And frankly, it's not even obedience that gets you in even better with God. It is obedience rooted in our position in Christ. Because we are saved, then we seek to know, do, and submit to his will in all things. So that we might sing with the psalmist, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Or lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. That we would say with the apostles in Acts 21, let the will of the Lord be done. That we would truly come to understand with the prophet Micah what is good and what the Lord has required of us to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. Or that we might sing, even as we did this morning, to serve the Lord with gladness and to come into his presence with singing. Friends, are you in this moment serving the Lord with gladness in the courts of his house? Or is this simply a beating of duty to you? Do you have joy in the Spirit? Do you revel in the worship of our sovereign Savior King? Even as we submit to the difficulties of life, we desire to say with Job, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. all of us in this room, know what it is to sit in the emergency room or in the hospital room or in the hospice care facility or in court and watch our lives and our loved ones disintegrate in front of us. And to submit to that difficult providence in our lives and to say, the Lord gave and the Lord is taking away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is a difficult thing, but it is what we are called to do. Obedience in all things. And so my question to you today is, what are you neglecting in your obedience? In what area of your life are you holding back from what you know to be the full will of God as he is revealed in his holy scriptures? We might also ask, to what are you giving yourself that is superfluous, that's extra and not needed for the sake of the gospel? To what are you devoting time and attention that distracts from an unhindered obedience to Christ in all things? This is where earth begins to look like heaven. As the Catechism goes on to summarize biblical teaching, saying that we would not only do and be willing and able to do the will, but we would do it with the like humility, cheerfulness, faithfulness, diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy. How? As the angels do in heaven. This is the battle of the heart. Children, do you obey your parents? This is the primary way God has given you to show your obedience to Christ, by obeying your parents in the Lord. Do you obey with slothfulness? Moving really slowly. If you've never seen a sloth, I'll get to it, Mom and Dad. Do you drag your feet in what you're doing? After this game, after this level, after this page, when I finish this chapter, children, do you obey cheerfully as unto the Lord? Adults, do you tell the Lord after this show, after this book, once I know my motives are perfectly pure? After this career, after this football game, after this time with my hobby, then I'll focus on what Christ is calling me to focus on. At what point, friend, has God ever asked an angel to do something? And the angel responded, in a minute. Gabriel, I need you to go talk to Mary. Hold up, I got a couple things to do. And then I will get around to completing the will that you have for me, sovereign God. The angels do all that God has commanded them to do. And they do it immediately. We are called to do all that God has commanded us to do, humbly, cheerfully, faithfully, with diligence, zeal, sincerity, and constancy, like unto angels. And what a glorious picture we had in 2 Samuel today of an angel doing the bidding of God. We might say with Hezekiah, as Isaiah quotes him, "Please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness with a whole heart." Or with the psalmist, "You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes." How do you respond when you realize you are not doing what God has called you to do? Are you willing to let go of what needs let go of in your life? Or when you come across those moments of difficult providence because of difficult obedience, do you dig in your heels and say, "No, but I expect God's blessing anyway"? Psalm 103 reminds us, "Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will." Many times it's because of our kingdom that we are trying to build, our strength that we think we are living in, our power that we want to exert, that we might view it as weakness to submit to the simple commands of scriptures. My friends, I don't think you would find any more powerful created beings in the universe than the angels. If God would will it, and an angel would appear here in the worship service this morning, even as David saw the angel exacting the plague on the nation that day, I don't think any of us would say, "Oh, look, an angel. Isn't that neat?" I think you would be struck with fear. If God would reveal in physical manifestation an angel to you this morning, you would not know what to do with yourself. Angels aren't powerless or weak so that they have nothing to do but to submit to the sovereign God. In the midst of their power, in the midst of all that they have been created to do, they immediately do what God calls them to do. In the Proverbs, we are called to not despise the teaching of our father and mother. Again, this is a battle of the heart. Children, if you despise your parents, you'll eventually despise all that your parents tell you. Which for Christian parents is telling you about Jesus. And eventually, young one, you will come to despise the gospel and Jesus Christ himself. It is a battle of the heart. Will you choose to joyfully and in surrender obey your parents? And parents, adults, will you with joy, will you with power and knowledge and submission and immediacy, will you obey God's revealed will for your life? Will you obey his commands in scripture? Will you be conformed to the image of Christ? Or will you fight tooth and nail acting as a natural person? Or even worse, trying to accomplish spiritual ends by worldly means? Will you want none of God's will, want none of what he has revealed to you, because it might ruin your fun or your career or cut into your personal time or destroy your modes of relaxation or in your opportunities to work and make money? It might even cut into some of that nest egg to follow God and do what he has asked you to do. Do you have an idol of your heart that has caused you to neglect Christ and his commands upon your life. My friends, pray for gospel obedience. Pray that the Spirit would so enable and equip and convict you that you would want nothing more than to obey God fully and immediately. That you would be made able and willing to know, do, and submit to his will in all things, on earth as it is in heaven. Will you pray that you will obey that will fully, without delay, without anything hindering you, nothing keeping you from doing and saying what Christ has called you to? Again, this is a battle of the heart. What we do or say, does it not begin in the heart, in that center of our being? Let us pray that our minds be conformed by the gospel of to the gospel of Christ. That we are conformed to his image. Because, my friends, our natural hearts want none of God's will. So in Christ, let us pray that he makes earth like heaven, and then let us serve him powerfully, knowledgeably, submissively, and immediately. Stand with me as we pray. Father, change our hearts. Advance us still from strength to strength. Help us to delight in the obedience, the change of will that we have already experienced, and to desire more. More godliness, more holiness, more sanctification. That we might be like Jesus, in whose name we pray. And church, let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.